is.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Tim. Tim is off today. Expect him in the driver's seat on Monday. You've got me right now. And I'll be back again 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. It seems like I'm doing a lot. Well, I got a wedding to plan for. We'll just put down like that. Got a wedding to plan for. Hour 3 of the Tim Weisberg Show. The quote of the day. There is no better teacher than adversity. Every defeat, every heartbreak, every loss contains its own seed, its own lesson on how to improve your performance the next time. That quote from the late Malcolm X, who was assassinated on this date back in 1965, had a couple of people who called in prior to the news, wanted to talk about the military, the post office, and preferential treatments. Because I made the comment, you know, if we think of diversity, equity, and inclusion as preferential treatment programs, well, if you retire from the military, don't you get preferential treatment for certain jobs, for certain positions, especially within government? Now, I'm not trying to say I'm against these folks getting those positions. I think folks that serve in the military are, they're doing something that I could not do. Or maybe I could, but I would not do. That stated, you have to consider, if you served in the military and you get the opportunity to work at the Postal Service, you get the a better opportunity than some others in government positions, city, state, and federal government. That's a preferential treatment. It may not be race-based. It may not be gender-based. It may not be LGBT alphabet-based. And it may not be disability-based, but it's a preference. And in general, we don't seem to have a problem with that. But as they like to say, call the spade the spade. I usually don't say that because calling a spade is one of those kind of terms that people like me don't really get into that much. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Okay, you are correct. There is still preferential treatment for veterans for federal and state employment.
So tell me what you know.
Well, I know that on some of the civil service tests, you are given extra points in order to, put you, place you up higher on the list. But it's, definitely true.
So and on can you help me with that for a second? Pardon me for cutting in like this.
No problem.
So I've never seen a civil service exam. I don't know what they're about. When you say you get extra points, what can you explain that?
Well, they would give you, I remember on the police, in the fire exam, you'd get a 2-3 extra points added to your overall score I also remember when we were testing for state on the civil service for engineering, you also received points added to the score if you were a veteran.
So you said engineering. What do you mean by engineering?
Engineering. Well, at one point, in order to get a job with the state, now MassDOT, you had to actually examine in for your engineering grades. Engineering aid, 1, 2, civil engineer, 1, 2, 3. There's certain grades of engineers for either transportation side or electrical or any of those disciplines, civil engineering, all those disciplines.
Hmm. That sounds like you need a degree of difficulty in order to get something like that.
Well, interesting enough, early on you actually didn't need a degree, engineering degree to get in. You just had to pass your engineering test for civil service. And you started out as an engineering aide, and you could then exam up into the next grade higher.
Help a dummy like me when you say an engineering. When I think of engineering and you got to pass the test, we're not talking choo-choo Charlie here. It sounds like a lot of math, at least.
Correct. Civil engineering, electrical engineering, any of those type of disciplines.
Well, it doesn't sound like any dummy could take a test like that.
No, correct. But the question was whether or not veterans received preferential treatment. Yes, they did, because you would get extra points added on to whatever your score was if you were, in fact, a veteran. It was
so. So, if I could put it like this, and you can answer the question for me, out of 100, I score an 85, and you get extra points, and you end up scoring an 86 because of those extra points. You have a better shot at the position than I do, because I wasn't
exactly
in the military.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, and that happened to me on a couple of occasions.
Really?
Someone outscored, just, you know, with their veteran preference, with their added scores. So, correct.
So, do you think that's right, wrong?
Well, as someone who did the military, it was interesting enough, when I took the civil service in the state in Massachusetts, at the time I took the civil service test, I was not considered a veteran, even though I served in the military, because Massachusetts had a stipulation that you had to be in a theater of war or served during wartime to gain that veteran status.
Really?
They since changed that. But back then, yeah. So if that's, but, you know, I it was one of those catch-22s for me. But I honestly didn't have a problem with that because, you know, someone was in the military service. That's how I got interested in civil service, because of my military experience. And I wanted to stay working for the public. I enjoyed that work. And that's the reason why I stayed in it.
Hmm. I guess I could say, why not stay in the military? But you never know where you're going to end up.
Correct. Well, for me, I wasn't allowed to stay in the military because I had a health issue, so I had to come out. You know, I had to get out. I would have most likely stayed in and made it a career, but unfortunately, health concerns didn't let me pursue that part of it.
Well, it sounds like you made government a career.
Yes, I did. I had 40 years before I retired, which I did a couple years ago.
So what do you think of all this dozing that's going on?
Well, I'm concerned with some of the cuts that they've made, and anything you can find waste, but some of the wholesale cuts are very concerning to me, and we're just going to have to see how it shakes out at the end of the day.
$800 billion dollars for the military.
Yes, and this is what we've become, and we'll see what happens when it does shake out. But the whole DEI portion of it, and I keep saying this, the DEI in my opinion, was not a quota system. It was not a quota system at all. It just made the pool larger, and you went after other people who normally didn't go or strive for those certain positions. So I didn't see, you know, like Skeddy had said, she made it sound as a quota system, and it wasn't. I'm sorry. Just no one's going to convince me it was a quota system because there's nothing connected to it quota-wise. Like affirmative action early on, and the interesting fact there is when you look at the numbers, the greatest folks who made out during affirmative action when we did have the quota system was definitely women. White women actually made out the best because if their husbands owned companies, they simply were put in place as the president and they took over. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, magic numbers behind a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I want to thank you for your call and your comment.
Have a good one.
508-996-0500. I think the government will tell you that white women have been the largest benefactors of affirmative action programs, and that probably, this is me now, probably extends to DEI. I told the story the other day. A woman that I was dating in Santa Barbara, California, back in the 1980s. She was offered a general managership piece of ownership in a company. She wasn't supposed to tell anybody, and she was a little apprehensive, so she did tell me. And I said, that sounds a little fishy. I said, why don't we go talk to an attorney about this? And of course we did. And the attorney said exactly what this previous gentleman stated, that they were trying to set her up so they could open up this particular company with her as the figurehead, but she wasn't going to do anything. And, you know, we pretty much left it up to her what she was going to do with it. And eventually she told him that she had met with an attorney, and guess what? You know, they were no longer interested in her. Surprise, surprise. Preferential treatment. I know we're talking about the military. And I'm not quite sure I have a problem with military personnel getting some of these preferences. But if you give it to the military, then how do you not give it to some others? Government jobs in particular. There's a point system. Dummy me. I've never taken a civil service exam, so I didn't know that there was a point system. I figured you got graded on it, but I didn't realize your points actually went up against another person's. This military guy was speaking the other day. He happens to be an air traffic controller. And he was able to get his air traffic controller position. And I guess get into the program because he served in the military. So let's not be blinded by the fact that serving in the military can lead to better positions down the road, or at least the offer of a better position down the road. There are preferential treatments. You can say, well, they earned it. I'm not saying they didn't earn it. I am saying there is a preferential treatment. 508-996-0500. Phil Devitt has an update after we take this call. Hello.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
How are you? For DEI versus veteran benefits, I think veterans, because they're military, a vast majority, I think even foreign nationals can join the American service. There's no
military service, you mean?
Yeah. So the only real restriction is, can you physically, you know, do the training? And are you of a good character? So that kind of is a great equalizer. Whereas I think DEI, on the other hand, those are supposedly fixed characteristics that you can't change. You know, I suppose the transsexual thing is, that's debatable. Even the gay thing, I think, you know, you can say you're gay or not. But I think, you know, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're African-American, whether you're Chinese, whatever your, you know, your DEI benefit is, that's fixed. That's not going to change. So me, I'm a white guy. I can't go and put on the paperwork and say, oh, I'm going to be a black guy today, and so I should get extra points or I should get the job. That's how I see it. I think that's what makes the military points a little bit more fair, because anybody can benefit from those. Whereas with DEI, that's not the case. Although,
well, but if, know, but to your point, you're right. Yeah. If you're in the military, you do benefit over other people.
Yeah.
If you were in the military, I should say, that's a benefit for you.
That's a choice. And the choice is you too, you know, a woman can join the military. A Chinese person can join the military. Whatever the situation is, you can join the military as long as you, you know, come up to their standards. But whereas DEI, if you're black, you're black, you're black, you're black. I don't know anybody who's changed colors. I don't know anybody who's truly changed their sex. I mean, your biology is biology. So I think that's where you differentiate the two. And I think that's where I think people see DEI a little unfair, but, you know, it is what it is.
Now, what I'm coming back is, it's still a preferential treatment.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that is what I'm saying. And many people consider DEI a preferential treatment. But they can compartmentalize and say that, well, you're in the military. That's a different thing altogether. And, right. I mean, you just said it yourself.
Yeah. No, and I absolutely agree with what I said. Believe it or not,
I think many people do, and I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not in the category that says I don't agree with that. But
sure.
You have to call it a preferential treatment. As I said before, call a heart a heart. Never mind a spade a spade.
Yeah, I think it's called the veteran's preference anyway. When you take the test, they ask you, do you have veteran's preference? So, you know, it's certainly a preference, and it's a benefit. So. All right, great conversation.
So if you're a police, say you weren't a military police person, but you served in the military, and then you decide, well, I want to apply to be a statey. You get a preferential treatment for that over somebody else who didn't serve in the military.
And I think that's fair, yep.
Why?
Well, first of all, they've taken time out of their life to help all Americans, because when you go in the military, you're there protecting, you know, you might not be shooting a gun somewhere, but you're there protecting the country. You're serving all the citizens. I think that's a choice you make. And if you're willing to do that, you also receive training in the military, guns, whatever the training is, the physical training. You've shown you're able to last in the military. Therefore, you would probably be good in a job such as statey, which is sort of paramilitary, you know, so that's there. I see that's a good benefit.
Fair enough. Now I'm going to add this as I get ready to go into the news.
Okay.
Who's got the highest suicide rate out there?
I'm not sure.
Wait, we were just talking about them.
Stateys?
Well, police military. In general.
Well,
And then most police officers, I shouldn't say most, many police officers came from the
military.
Nothing like that preferential treatment, huh?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Good enough. I appreciate the call very much.
508-996-0500.
I'll get to you after we talk to Phil Devitt.
Trump gets the legal okay to keep saying you're fired as the defense secretary signals major cuts ahead. United Healthcare offering buyouts at a once-in-a-century reveal in Egypt.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A federal judge says President Trump's mass firings of government employees can continue for now. Multiple labor unions recently filed a lawsuit trying to block the administration's layoffs of thousands of probationary employees. On Thursday, the judge denied the bid, saying the federal court was not the appropriate avenue for the lawsuit. Despite the denial, the judge indicated he was sympathetic to the unions, saying many of Trump's executive orders caused disruption and even chaos in widespread quarters of American society. Trump administration is ending the temporary protected status of Haitian immigrants. Back in June, former President Biden announced Haitians would receive temporary protection due to the island's violent domestic turmoil. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem has announced it will end those protections. Most Americans are worried about the Department of Government Efficiency's cuts impacting programs like student financial aid and Social Security payments. In a new Reuters Ipsos poll, 58% of Americans said they're worried about delays to those payments. President Trump named tech billionaire Elon Musk to head the agency, but the White House noted earlier this week he's technically not part of the group. A court filing shows that Musk is considered an employee of the White House office. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is telling the military to prepare for major budget cuts. Mark Mayfield has the story.
Hegseth issued the memo Tuesday, one day before President Trump endorsed the House's budget plan, which includes a $100 million decrease in defense spending. Despite calling for an increase in defense budgets 1 week earlier, Hegseth has now ordered all military branches to create a plan that cuts 8% of their budget over the next 5 years. The only exception to the budget cuts will be for border security. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A Texas mother says her 11-year-old daughter died by suicide because she was bullied over her immigration status. Jocelyn Rojo Carranza of Gainesville, Texas, died earlier this month, and her mother says fellow students insulted her and claimed she was in the U.S. illegally. The mother said students said they'd call immigration so her parents would be taken away. She said she had no previous indication her daughter was being harassed by her classmates. An investigation is underway, but the school district won't say if it was aware Carranza was being bullied. United Healthcare is offering some employees buyouts. Michael Kastner reports.
The offer comes amidst a turbulent year for the insurance company, which posted record revenue while dealing with a massive cyber attack and the murder of its CEO, Brian Thompson, in December. The buyouts are targeted at employees in the company's benefits operations unit. Those who decline the offer will either keep their jobs or get a comparable position. I'm Michael Kastner.
And a pharaoh's tomb has been discovered for the first time in more than a century. Egyptologists announced this week they found the tomb of Thutmose II, the last undiscovered royal tomb of the 18th Egyptian dynasty, dating to the 15th century BC. It was discovered by a British and Egyptian team near the city of Luxor in an area thought to contain the graves of royal women. But inside, they found the sign of a pharaoh. The pharaoh himself was found in the 1800s. But the original burial site had been unknown.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics with a win over the Philadelphia 76ers, 124-104. Home at TD Garden to play the New York Knicks on Sunday. Bruins have the floor first. Boston home to play the Anaheim Ducks at TD Garden on Saturday night.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Bright and breezy for your Friday here on the South Coast. A high getting up to about 34 degrees. On Saturday, mostly sunny. Again, a high near 35. On Sunday, partly cloudy, a little bit warmer, but not much. A high of 41. Same for Monday. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Singing.
Last half hour of the Tim Weisberg Show for a Friday. Friday, big weekend coming up. Actually, I don't know what's going on. Brian sitting in for Tim today. 508-996-0500. We've spent quite a bit of this hour speaking about preferential treatments and DEI. And I have mentioned, much to the chagrin of even myself, that military personnel, when they become civilians and they're looking for positions, most notably government type jobs, and that could be anywhere from a teacher, a nurse, whatever the case may be, they seem to get a preference in hiring. Police, fire, EMT, preference over other folks. And my point, since President Trump and many of his cabinet have been talking about DEI hires and even made an outlandish statement when a plane smacked into a helicopter or a helicopter smacked into a plane, talking about DEI at that particular time, you don't hear him saying anything about DEI when it comes to military personnel getting jobs, in particular within government, but even outside of that. And look, I don't begrudge an employer for wanting to hire somebody that was in the military. Maybe that employer was in the military. Doesn't mean it's not a preferential treatment. That's all I'm getting at here. And going back earlier, you may not have heard this news, but the Healey administration sent word down to the Department of Public Utilities. And now all of a sudden, the DPU is letting us know that gas companies have been ordered to lower our gas bills. Isn't that nice? Our heating bills, our gas heating bills. And I suppose if it heats your hot water bill too. And if you cook with it, your cooking bill. As a caller mentioned, I believe, during the second hour, well, isn't that interesting? They come up with this statement. We're almost into March, and that's very true. Today's, what, the 21st, last day of February is next Friday. Now the announcement comes in March. The bills, most of the time, are a lot lower than that February, that December, that January bill. And then, of course, April, you know, it's a lot milder. So doesn't the, I think her point was, and I agree, what a very opportune time to come out and make this announcement when delivery charges probably are not going to be anywhere near as high as they have been, let's say, in November, December, January, February. Good news, though, is the bills are going to be coming down. The bad news is the utility companies are going to spread whatever you would have been paying, let's say, in March and maybe a tad bit in April, because when you pay in April, you're actually paying for March. They're going to spread that out over the summer months when you aren't using anywhere near as much gas. So whatever you thought you were saving, guess what? It's coming out of your pocket down the road. And I have not heard anything about lowering electricity bills. My guess is the rates aren't going to be lowered, but they'll shave money off your bill and then tack it on down the road. Some kind of notice will come out in reference to that. If you have been listening to the show this morning, you've heard a few cuts from our Senator Markey, our junior Senator Markey. And he was on Channel 10 WJAR-TV. Today is, so I'm going to say Wednesday. And he was talking about Doge and talking about his impression of what's going on with Doge and what this administration is doing. Here's a little piece about what he said, I believe, on Wednesday. Brian, cut one.
They've made it very clear. Their goal is to gut these agencies, to eliminate the Department of Education, to bring the Environmental Protection Agency to its knees, to loot $880 billion out of Medicaid. We call that mass health in Massachusetts. That's 1.6 million people who are dependent upon Medicaid, that is mass health, for their health insurance. That's not waste, fraud, and abuse. That goes to the heart of cruelty, of heartless disregard for the well-being of families, for the poor, the sick, the elderly. The past is just their memory. The future will be their hard reality if Trump and Musk get their way with the well-being and safety of every family in Massachusetts and across our country.
So what do you think about that comment from the junior senator from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, who, by the way, is running for re-election in 2026? I think there is a divide, not only here in the Commonwealth, but in the country, about some of these cuts. I am of the feeling that many of these programs never should have been started, but they're here now. And so when Senator Markey makes comments like the one that he just made, he's doing it for, I think he really believes what he's saying. But in saying that, he also knows it's a positioning statement for himself. He is positioning himself as a candidate that's going to be fighting Donald Trump for the final 2 years of Trump's term. Never mind what's going to go on for the first 2 years. He's positioning himself for re-election. Now, as far as waste, fraud, and abuse, I think Diane DeSoglio, who is the state auditor, has already found waste and abuse, probably some fraud, here in the Commonwealth with some of these programs. And there have been changes made to the state Medicaid Reed Mass Health program. There have been changes to the state portion of SNAP. So I think it's disingenuous of the senator to come out and say that it ain't happening. Do people use it faithfully, honestly? Of course they do. But I think, look, if you're going to have these programs, you have to monitor them. It's like what I've seen folks do with food stamps. They will take their food stamps, they will go into a supermarket, Market Basket in particular. I remember watching this happen. They would go in with their food stamps and they would go and they would buy those 2-liter bottles of soda, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Coke. And then they would go to another convenience store and they would sell them to the convenience store. And the convenience store owner would give them cash. So now instead of having food stamp money, they would have cash money to go out and spend anyway that they want to spend. So please don't tell me that there's no fraud in that system, Senator. But to the people that use that program faithfully, they're listening to Senator Markey. And they're thinking he's fighting for us. And so when it's time to vote in November of 26, they're going to be voting for Markey. Sometimes that's just the way it goes. as far as these programs are concerned. A, the federal government should not be in these programs. They should not be in state Medicaid. They should not be reimbursing states. Or I shouldn't say reimbursing. They shouldn't be giving states money and then the states turn around and figure out exactly how to spend that money. They should not be in that business. There are a lot of programs slated to get the axe from this administration, the presidential administration. If folks here in the Commonwealth, if folks in the city of New Bedford, in the town of Dartmouth, in the town of Westport, in city of Fall River, towns of Wareham, Mattapoisett, Marion, Rochester, Acushnet, the people that, Freetown, that listen to us, if they feel that these programs should exist, they should look at their particular city or town first and see if the people in their city or town want to vote it in and then let the people in that city or town pay for it. If you think there are enough people interested in the program statewide, then make it a ballot question and have people vote on it. And then if people vote in the affirmative, then we're taxed on the state level for that program. Federal government should not be in that program, should not be in the Medicaid program. I don't think they should be in the food stamp program. I don't think they should be in any food program, but, you know, they buy grain, they buy corn, and they buy all kinds of food stuff and send it outside the country. Just my thought. 508-996-0500. That's how you get onto the program. We're going to try to get everybody in. I don't know. It's going to be tight. Chris McCarthy after ABC at the top of the hour. Hello.
What'd you wait all that time for to do those commercials?
You want to talk?
Yeah.
Well, come on. You're wasting time.
That's crazy. Hey, listen, I feel so bad about what's going on in Israel.
What's going on now?
Well, you know that what they did, these two babies are dead. That they returned, but they didn't return the mother.
Apparently, and there was a mix-up with that, yeah.
Wait a minute. With Trump the mother. Said that, he said Saturday, if he doesn't release them, that if they don't release them, all hell's going to break loose, remember?
That was a week ago, yeah.
I know, but they're releasing them dead.
Well, no, they knew that these people were dead.
All right, but what do you think's going to happen with this?
As far as what is Israel going to do, it's anybody's guess.
No, I mean, are we going to help them?
Oh, I think we already are helping them.
Not with this one, not.
What do you mean?
Well, the terrorists needs, you know, they need to be put in their place. But they got these tunnels underground.
Yeah.
For miles and miles, I heard, and they have these rockets and whatever they have under there, all these weapons.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, the terrorists, as you call them, what they've been able to accomplish.
The state of Pennsylvania.
What?
As long as Pennsylvania, I heard on last night.
What, the tunnels?
So, yeah.
Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised.
But, you know, I don't hear anybody calling up that voted for Trump that say they're happy with gas prices. And what about Drill Baby Drill? Are they drilling?
I guess. Got to go.